Don't put down here. Such a picky. There. Okay. So we'll do one of a recitation three times of just the refuge prayer. Which, well, probably just in English, I think. So that's on the fourth page. The Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood and aim to benefit all transmigrators. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrators. To Buddha, the Dharma, and the highest assembly, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened. By thus listening to teachings and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all transmigrators. So this afternoon we're looking at ethics, the perfection of ethics, and so again you have this difference between the general practice of ethics and the perfection of ethics, and so the perfection of ethics is specifically the practices of the Bodhisattva. However, in general, ethics is a practice we are all able to engage in. So, if we say what is the nature of ethics or what is its definition, it is the intention to restrain. Okay, so then if we look at the divisions of ethics, you get the ethics of restraining from faults as regards your vows, the ethics of accomplishing virtue, and the ethics of accomplishing the purposes of sentient beings. So in terms of the ethics relating to one's vows, this covers from the ethics of abandoning the 10 non-virtues, and then you have the ethics of individual liberation. So that there are 8 different sets of vows that fall under the ethics of individual liberation. You have the household of vows. So the the male and female holding of the household of vows. You have novice monks and nuns. You have fully ordained monks and nuns. So in terms of the household of vows, that there are 5 points or 5 advices for those vows, and someone may take one of them, they may hold 2 of them, or up to a complete set, referring to the holding all 5 household vows. And then further than that, ethics relating to vows, you have your bodhicitta vows, you have your tantric vows. Okay. All right. So to talk a little bit about ethics. So if we look at the ethics of abandoning the 10 non-virtues. If you have made a specific commitment to abandon or vow to abandon the 10 non-virtues, then because you have continually have that vow, you are continually having an increase of the virtue, continuous increase of the virtue of abandoning non-virtue. Whereas if you do not have that vow or promise, then at the time when you have a complete opportunity to engage in killing or a complete opportunity to steal, and at that point you refrain from it, thinking that would be a wrong thing to do, that would create non-virtue, or for example, if you're going to tell a lie and then you thought, well, people are depending on me to tell the truth, and restrain, at that point in time, because you restrained, you create the virtue of that ethical practice of restraining from it. But you don't get the continual kind of flow and increase of virtue that you get from having made the vow that you will restrain from it.
Don't Surinder Mateva, you said.
Okay, so then, so this applies in general, it's a general explanation of ethics, which applies to abandoning the 10 non-virtues, but can also, you can apply it also to the other vows. So, for example, when you take the vows of a householder, then you are continually having this increase of virtue. And likewise, you rely on conscientiousness. And conscientiousness itself brings about happiness. And there is also a quote from Sutra which says, having ethics brings about happiness. There is happiness through having ethics. So the complete quote is that having ethics leads to liberation. Having ethics brings happiness. Brings about happiness. And in terms of ethics in the three higher trainings, the higher trainings of concentration and wisdom depend on our practice of ethics. That if we lack this training in ethics, we cannot give rise to concentration, to calm abiding and penetrative insight. Why not? Because if you cannot keep your ethical practices, you have not been able to restrain your external wandering, you know, external distraction. If you can't restrain your external distraction, you're not going to be able to restrain internal distraction like dullness and distraction. Okay. So if we were to say, well, what is the method by which we practice ethics? It is by cultivation of mindfulness and alertness, and through mindfulness and alertness you have conscientiousness, and that is your method for cultivating. So this is the general explanation, kind of overall looking at ethics. And then you have your specific examples of vows of individual liberation and bodhicitta and tantric vows, but we don't need to go into them specifically at this point in time. Okay, so then in terms of ethics, the second type of ethics, of the ethics of cultivating virtue, that covers all the trainings of the Bodhisattva. So it's actually a very vast category, because you could put all the six perfections into it. For example, the perfections of ethics, joyous effort, and concentration would all be patience, joyous effort, and concentration would all be included within the ethics of cultivating virtue. Nos. So, okay, and then the third type of ethics is that of fulfilling the purposes of sentient beings, and they specifically they specify 11 different activities of fulfilling the benefit of sentient beings. Okay, so examples from within those 11 are the ethics of showing sentient beings the the ethics of assisting others in activities, of assisting others who are obscured as regards the methods, ethics of helping those who are grieving, helping those who are lack or in need, the ethics of helping those through being a friend who is in accordance with their mind, their temperament, being an yantaba get drama correct ultimate. Being a good friend, a correct friend, ethics of helping those who engage in wrong method, the ethics of those who are helping those who are suffering. So all these kind of aspects which usually come up in teachings. So if we would say in general the ethics of cultivating the purposes of sentient beings, it is motivated with a thought to benefit others, then engaging in whatever action of body, speech or mind to accomplish their benefit. So this So this is a general explanation on the three types of ethics, and again, that ethics in general is a very important thing, because even having one kind of ethical practice, one guiding rule or principle, helps to decrease the difficulties that one meets. That when someone completely lacks any ethical practice and behaves completely kind of with lack of attentiveness, lack of conscientiousness, then because they behave indiscriminately, constantly problems will arise for them.
Or
Okay, so even in terms of future lives, for attaining a happy rebirth, one needs an ethical practices. That if we go back to the point of liberation, to attain liberation, you need the cultivation of the three higher trainings. In terms of the three higher trainings, that of wisdom and concentration depend on your ethical training and ethics. Then not only that, simply to attain a good rebirth, you need ethical practice. And they say, on the basis of pure ethics, combined with stainless prayer and assisted by the practice of generosity and so forth, this is how one attains the basis of a precious human rebirth. Any questions? So this is the essence of ethics. Any questions?
I don't understand really well what is concentration and wisdom and how it is related to
ethics. Lava sum. Gesla lava sum. Sherevgi lava danting izingi lava. Sudrungi lava la tingu gres. They are more on the drilwa kari us the woman. So chi nam to sigi na de do yung agi do panashin tiro o de
chi namis ko susut pe chi gi sen pa kwa ta na ko sa gi sam de me ba ina sam de me ba ina ma gi chu pa pre chi ko sam de me ba ina.
Loss. Okay. So, to start from the end of the training of wisdom. So, the higher training of wisdom is principally one's refers to your penetrative insight, which is a meditation on emptiness, yeah? Well, a specific. It's called, sometimes they call it special insight or penetrative insight. Okay. To attain that level of penetrative insight, you need to have already attained calm abiding, which is a form of concentration. So that's your higher training of concentration. If you have no training of concentration, no calm abiding, you cannot attain the penetrative insight, which is your higher training of wisdom. So when you're trying to attain calm abiding, your principal obstacles are your mental dullness or mental distraction. And so the distraction is when, motivated by desire, your mind is drawn outwards from your meditation. But that's what would be called like an inner wandering, because it's your mind that's just wandering off your meditation. If in your daily life, in order to be able to control that inner distraction of dullness and distraction inwardly, you need to have created a basis in your daily life by your ethics, which is put like a fence around what you're doing with your body, speech and mind. Because otherwise, if you just let your mind go wherever it wants and do whatever it wants and cannot control it in any way, then you wouldn't be able to control your mind when you're just sitting on the meditation cushion. So you wouldn't be able to get your concentration going. So your ethics is like first controlling your body, speech and mind and putting a fence around it, a limit on it, so that it is settled, and that it gives you the basis to get the next to the meditation. But okay. Everyone looks thoughtful.
So, are there any methods that we can use to join the daily life other than meditation time to control the mind?
Gomma tsam majuikab, the gomma gabuikab, sosu nematalba gishawa drubdu, sosu sem dulwe tabiorwe. Gomma gabuikab nazo shawa namanazo che sem dulwe sem, the wombu go somewhere de tabshe yorwe. Do you want to, I could either say it as control your mind or subdue your senses. What's better?
Both.
Niga, sem dulwa da bombo go soa. Tabshi kariyur. Gomme gabi kapsusu shawak da leka da ganga drup. So one thing is just simply the study that you do and the listening to teachings and thinking about it and reading Buddhist books acts as a basis that will help your mind to become more subdued. And then the second thing, because I said, well, when you're going to town or, you know, talking with people and these things, and so Geshe said it's a question of being mindful, remembering that, you know, there are being in busy, noisy places can acts as a cause of wandering, or being in those environments can be cause your mind to be kind of wandering and distracted. And so You use your mindfulness to be aware in that situation. Dremba tatawa energy present. I'm just going to clarify. So
you're in this very moment and you're not thinking.
So you're not. So it's using, it's really using your mindfulness not to let your mind go to the past or the future. Tātāwa tremba nājan, they're tremba devam samlum mātāwa māumbala samlum mātāwa de tandarangi tremba shewa de tabshi chik duwes, de tabshi rewes. So that's a specific method, like a specific meditation where you're not letting the mind go to the past or the future, but just stay with the present. But Geshe said, can that happen when you go into town? Can you really?
I think every moment you can actually be
there. Yeah, that's. Yes?
Slightly different, but on the same theme variation of theme. I was just thinking, if you're going into town, and I do this every day when I go into work, I just think this is a case that degenerate times, so you're going to see all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Moran de Shokela Ronchir Ronjana like a Drodungunla Shovenana de Tering Namanasu Shil de Wanashin Yu Yan de Kendan Tun Namanasa Yongres de Donang Chambu Mache Moran Rangi Labjanashin Chigdus Dene Kabjundu Namanasu Shadu Penamit Sik Namanasu Lab Moran de Shukchambu Mazamba Dinanjin Degro. Yes. So in the morning, if you generate this kind of motivation, then at the time when those things are arising, that motivation helps you to remember that kind of, yes, they're just the different causes and conditions arising. Lojong nana de soso sim yul yi duong wa tong wa ducha yina de sim jin tam chi de ducho la Lintang, Simchen Damche, Ducha Mena, Gewe Sawa Yongwa, this Samlo Tansa Yurwa. So there's another one in mind training where you think, if you see an object, like a pleasing object, and you feel attachment towards it, you think, may I take on the attachment of all sentient beings and take on that, and then you think of giving my all sentient beings. Attain the virtuous root of freedom from attachment. So those things that there, do check down shit on the rig, Ganga. Los yus. Okay, so in the mind training teachings it says practice on the three objects, the three times and the three roots of virtue. That in general, when we see something pleasing we generate attachment, we see something displeasing we generate hatred, and if it's something neutral that doesn't provoke us in any way, we have an ignorant reaction. And most, the thing that happens for us mostly is this generation of ignorance. When there is no reaction of anger or reaction of attachment to something, mostly we tend to generate this kind of dull mind, dull, ignorant mind. Timuk, dull. And so one uses one's mindfulness to be aware of that, and in relationship to each of those objects one thinks of, uses one's mindfulness to think of taking it on. Limbit. Yulsum sozo trembache. Okay, so that in relationship to any of these three objects, for example, the object which is displeasing, to which you have aversion or hatred, you think, may sentient beings, may I take on this mind of hatred of sentient beings, and may I give the virtue that is free of hatred. May I give them virtuous mind that is free of hatred. Likewise, for attachment, taking it on and giving away the virtue of non-attachment, and likewise for the ignorant or dull mind. Like that. So it's a mind training instruction. It comes in the mind training teachings. Sorry?
I have questions about connecting the dull mind and the attachment. I mean, my attachment created dull mind.
No, that's the third. The yidawama, the pleasing object, creates attachment, but the things that we don't, that are neutral to us, we don't react in any particular way, and so most of our reactions are more this kind of dull, literally timug. Okay. In this case, so it's seeing objects. When we see objects to which we do not feel attachment or anger, we have a dull mind that grasps at true existence. It's a timug, so it really is an ignorant, an ignorance that is still grasping at true existence. So it's a third, it's not relating to attachment, it's a third object. One group of objects is the pleasing ones, and we generate attachment. One group of objects is the displeasing ones, and we don't like them we may hate them. And then one group of objects is like neutral. And so we just generate this obscured mind that grasps at true existence. And most of it... That's all right. Like Paul in the rabbit hole. Well, okay. So we have this third group of objects that we don't, that are neutral to us. We don't feel any particular attachment. We don't feel any particular aversion, but we grasp at their true existence. And most of our states of mind grasp in that way. And so whichever you use your mindfulness for, whichever of those three arise, and you take it on for all sentient beings, and then you give away that they may have a virtuous mind that is free of this, free of attachment, or free of anger, or free of grasping at true existence.
Grasping at true existence. Okay. I mean, does that mean that you're not being mindful about all the things you know in terms of non-attachment and illusion and things not being permanent? Is that what you mean? Okay. Part of that, and you're trying to kind of be bored, or you're trying to make yourself happy somehow.
Denzin Demba Zimba Dendrum Zimba Geshla Zeni Sigina de Drashe Yavrona Morande Karyan Sangados Nangatsu Mitapa Matremba Denzin Demba Zimba Rues de Demba Zimba Sigina Kari Res. Okay. Right. So this, most of our kind of experiences have this arisal of true grasping, even in terms of attachment and hatred. There's a causal or a base aspect that is grasping at true existence related to those minds. And what it is that if you look at whatever the object is, if in terms of how it actually exists, it doesn't exist from its own side, we merely, the mind labels it. But when we look at the object, it appears to us, it comes kind of towards us almost, as if it was existing from its own side. And so, ngazo di zingrua, nangwa di ngazo zingrua. Okay. So at first, so it appears to that in that way to us, and then we grasp at it, thinking that it does exist in the way that it's appearing. So in that sense, you're not remembering all the instructions or anything. You just tend to grasp it as if it. Yes. Yeah, it's just, it's there and it appears to you, and you just kind of accept it at face value. That's how it appears. And but then if you get into you can get into lots of different aspects of this. So for example, there are relative consciousness that know the relative object correctly. You can, you know, have a correct consciousness that understands its relative, you know, the object, the relative object correctly. Tani gitshe ba la lo dun dun chaya de trembagi noa lo dun dun trembagi noa de tani gitshe ba manor wa yongrewe. Tani gi shiba manorwa yongwa tremba tsuwuna tengirwa moran tremba ngume
lukame temba
so when you were saying that by looking at the object and being present with it, like having your mindfulness, whether that makes the object the grasping, the ignorance. Yul karyan chu karyan dhammik bache wa tremba shuk jambu yuna de timuk de mewa zogruwe. Not just being mindful of the object. Not just mindfulness. So so chugi drasha yulgi neluk di tremba chena drasha di tremba chena. Yes, then that would come. Yeah. Yes, well, that's okay. So it's a bit more than mindfulness, because mindfulness is a mental factor that just holds the object.
Oh, okay. Whereas, it's just with words,
yeah.
So when I speak of presence and mindfulness, it always is imbued with the teaching.
That okay. So the understanding of the teachings, moran sigdi tremba da. Bayu kejuchedu de morangindo chugi drashe gyabdan dandro tremba chikbomare tremba chikbomare chugi drashe gyabwadan tremba yugin. Yeah, so then yes, it's just because there are practices where people just use mindfulness of like a feeling or an object, then they're not thinking about the whole background of the thing. Well, that's why I always end up going back and saying, what do you mean? So that I try and get it better.
It's related a little bit to the same, but it's emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
If I have an object, like a being, I started to think I have a mind and a body.
Yep.
But when these two things come together, they produce other things, like, for example, energy or gases, etc. So then I think in separating the parts, and I have mind, body, gases, energy.
Right.
So it seems to me like when mind and body mix, they produce more than just the parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like the result is something else.
more than the parts themselves.
Okay.
So I have a confusion there.
Right. So when you're searching for the eye, if you're searching for the eye, and you search through the mind and body, but then you feel like the mind and body together
are more
than just
more
than the parts. Okay. Kazakla Ngudzindan Kazatsena Nga Tsena Ludan Sem Samlotana Nazuchida Chashila Chashila Dinana Tsana Ludan Sem Yoris. You know, Mora Ludan Sem Nyamduina Ko Ni Kaisos Drebu Jemba. The talk you're the energy so the ludan sem nyamdu yuna koni chipumare koni ni nyamdu yuna dile manga yores pena ng well guesses long yeah zubunana draman rao yonwa zubuginua yore the Lucem Yam ni yona tene ngatsina more and that sim truk de yores currents in a more and ludan sim ni samotang gogres in Lucem ni nyamdu yina chashi ni chigbumai des chashi mambu nam na kin mambu yongdos then a more and that sim the tsarang ham. Tamu ngat sagdos ngat sadu ludan sem ni yu. Yena mora ludan sem ni samotana ludan sem ni nyamdu yena. Tile kaisos. Enjil te manga pena mora di penandu tenga so.
Ngat sedu wala tene.
なきたしらたしぽんがやろ。うん。そういうことですね。ぽんがてしてて。まあ、せんルダンせんにになんなさぐる。うん。せぐれ。たるでせんにたんだてとばらるせてなる。るさやのことてなら、かむかむしけちし。うん。かむがなたなけかむでね、かむがかむしせるわだてなら。
So
in the body, you would include, like the gases, because the body covers the elements of the body, like the heat and the, because the body falls within the form element, so it has different aspects of heat and moisture and so forth. So those part of those more would be included within your body, yeah? And then in terms of your mind, you have feeling, discrimination, the compositional factors in consciousness. Okay, so that if in terms, so you've got the two categories of mind and body, and mind would cover the aggregates of feeling, recognition, composite factors and consciousness. And then if you're going to look at the body, it covers the fire element, so the heat of the body, the earth is the solidity of the body, the wind being the nervous moving energy, and water. So it covers those four elements, and if you were going to do five elements where the fifth is consciousness, that fifth element would then fall within the category of mind. Does that help? So that then on searching for the I within those and finding that you there is nothing specifically findable, then you realize that the I is merely labeled on the collection of those two.
For example, if someone is angry at me and or nice with me and is always nice, you think, oh, this person is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's not nice, you think, oh, this person is not nice, because it's like a persistent way of being a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe a mind that is always there or appears very often.
Right.
So you think, oh, this person is nice.
Right. So it seems like you have a permanent conception that this person is nice. So if it's persistent and it's solid, does it feel like it must exist from its own side? That's right. So when you see someone with qualities and then we think that that's a nice person, that sense of the permanence of it, it comes along with that sense that it is inherently existent from its own side. So this is how it seems to us, or this is the way that it seems to us, but it doesn't mean that it does exist in the way that we think it does. So for example, that kind of appearance is the basis of the non-Buddhist assertion about the self, because they generally assert the self as independent, single and permanent, and that is because this I appears to us from the time we were little, and it always seems unchanging to us. We might say our body has changed, but there's this sense of this unchanging I, and so on that basis they assert this independent, unitary, permanent I. Hang on, I think we're not quite through. I'll I think we've not quite finished the question. The Geshe-la Dili. The Ngatso. The Ngatso Nawa Nanshin Navichu Mayimba Chiruba. So the eye appears to us as if it is like this, but if we actually look, that is not how it exists. So it will appear to us in this way, but it doesn't. It isn't permanent. It is impermanent and dependent on others. It's not independent. Dependent arising, dependent on other in that sense. So if we look, it doesn't exist how it's appearing to us. So then in the more and the sim the namto gyundo yoma the in and the nama nashin cheba chena nama nashin nilugmane. No, cheba chena the samot tana the nama the nilugmane. So that, going back to your first point about the persistent mind, if you then look at it, it appears in a certain way, but if you analyze it, does not exist in that way. Like, the, even though that, well, I'm extrapolating. You know, you may think that the person is nice and that feels like a permanent mind, but if you look at it, it is not findable. There's not, that person probably has lots of qualities. You know, it's a dependent, changing. So, yeah. And you can see that even if the person has a good quality, and in general we would say that it's a good person, at the same time they may have many other faults. They're not kind of inherently a good person in that sense. Yeah. And then you also, you separate the faults of the afflictive emotion from the person themselves, so that you see that faults arise from afflictive emotion rather than seeing the person as faulty. Okay, Lilin, question on? Yeah. People suffering. Jengi dunga lindu. So mopa chewa chibo yores. So nguni lingi yores. Pena michi kongi yuna. Minguni koran dunga tandu lama. Tang lingi ndi trongres. Mijemba matrongwa yongrues. Yeah, no. It's like an. The. No, so younger of it. Yes, cigarette. So, in general, in terms of the practice, we are training the mind. It's like an aspiration of taking on suffering. But it is possible, it could be said that someone actually, it is possible that some actual taking on of suffering could occur.
Lady, you know, from Alan
And then here, you know, through the teachings and the readings, this beauty is non-existent. But you still see that person as being nice. That's kind of like you get in your heart, I suppose.
Now, are you going to say non-existent or lacking an inherent existence? Because we already have to get to say, it's not that they're non-existent.
I can't remember what my question is.
So your head and your heart are in...
So should we then not see that person at all as being nice and just...
Mede zambu ina tan goran rajin meba gi mire. Tene te samba ni tokcho nanshin, de gelgi yore nanshin des. Tene mi zang ina mi ngemba ni kontrol zabu sikti nanshin ma samba yaburu es. Mi zang, mi di zambu res, mi di kontrol zabu res, mi di kyunchen res. De malabwa, masamba yaburu es.
Me rashi meba yana mi sambu yi, sambu yi samba nyi, kuchita gawa yomar wati nyi.
Gawa yomar, de morang gelwa yin samgare.
Rashi ngi me na yanko ane sambu yore dora, rashi ngi me sayadu ta,
Okay, so generally that a person lacks inherent existence and that they are a good person are not contradictory, because a lacking inherent existence person can be a nice person, because the relative nice person is the person, the arising through its parts and through many conditions in dependence on others. You do have a relative nice person who is also lacking an inherent existence. Hang on, I don't think we're done yet by the look on that.
Listen to the tape again. It needs to be said about for me to understand it fully.
There is no definition of soul. The NG soul.
Well, it's not the core. We lack inherent existence. I actually feel like I kind of understand that.
Okay.
But there's something else. That's what I'm trying to.
There is something else?
There is something else, and yet there's also everything is illusion. Yeah. It's not like.
You reckon? Yeah, I know. So you have this feeling like...
Does that mean I still really haven't fully grasped inherent existence?
Lack of inherent existence, yeah. Yeah, that probably that feeling is what you're analysing. Kain sina de ranjin meba samutana yinin de yud de jimba yugres simnala yungudus. There is relative existence. There is the relative labeling. That when you understand lack of inherent existence, it brings you that there is to that there is existence. Are you, when, in terms of understanding this, are you asserting like a permanent energy? What goes on from life to life, or?
Well, it's quite a big question, and I don't quite know how to put it into words. It's that feeling that you feel when you have oneness, or, for instance, somebody who's maybe reached enlightenment.
Mm.
The energy of that person, that understand all non-existence, what is that other that we all are a part of, that comes through in time from, and that comes through. What, there's some, how do you understand, is there something, I mean, there's something inside all of you in this life. It's hard to say something, it's not the same as something solid. It's
Tombala.
Spirit, or you, people use different names, but some people say God, some people say spirit, some people say, but in Tibetan belief, this, what do you call them? It's like one. You have a feeling sometimes when you disappear. You aren't there, but you, it's a joyous feeling, and you're right there, but you're part of everything, and everything's part of you.
It's just that there, it's kind of like there's a million parts of the whole.
It's an ultimate truth. What's the ultimate? That's the ultimate truth.
Dundemba, Dundemba, Karadis. No, Dundemba.
Dundemba.
Dundemba. Okay, so when we say ultimate truth, there are many
mistakes.
Dann Chizo, der Chizo, der Junjuknala, der Chirupa, den Namba war
Killingum.
Okay, so to take one aspect of this, of what you've kind of talked about, Geshe-la first said in terms of the term ultimate truth, it get used, it can be used in many ways and can be used and misinterpreted. In the lower schools, they say that all the relative phenomena that come from causes and conditions are ultimate truths. So they use it in a different way, okay? But from the Madhyamika point of view, the ultimate truth is the lack of inherent existence. Okay. There is a non-Buddhist school that asserts something that gets translated as like a primal essence or a primal substance that is at the basis of creation and so on. From the Buddhist point of view, they don't assert that kind of primal essence substance. And Ranjan Meba Tonila Thongbarwa. Thongni Ranjan Drupa Mare. Yeah. And emptiness, or lack of inherent existence itself, is also lacking an inherent existence. It's not that emptiness or lacking inherent existence is a findable entity. It also lacks inherent existence. Then, sorry? But the lack of inherent existence, going back to where Geshe-la started, should take you, understanding lack of inherent existence should take you through to that there is relative existence. It doesn't take you into there is no existence. Yeah, the tani la, tani gichu, kunzon de mitchu, yawu musina, de kali kaburu es. They say that subtle relative existence is difficult to understand. That to realize subtle relative existence needs to be preceded by actually a realization of emptiness, of lack of inherent existence. Okay. So going back to Shireen's point about whether one should not think about people being good or bad. In general, the advice is it's good not to think of them being bad. Thinking of them being as good as, you know, good hearted, good beings is good. The me zambu sauna demperwes pena moranjik me de shedaza jeda jintawa gaoz me zares dan su de me kontro midi kontro sabores de kyunchen tongres then me zambu de demberang re mare Okay. So this actually brings you back to saying that the fault is not the fault of the person, it is the fault of the nyamong, the afflictive emotion. And the me zang in a china jangshu sim dan tun me ganga trin chewa dan de so so go tamba mare di chirdang tamba mepa ne trin chamba la samgarwa. So further, other than our exaggeration of their qualities, so that you have this when we are meditating on bodhicitta, you are thinking that overall, since beginningless time, they are all extremely kind. So there is a fact in there, so to speak, of their kindness over eternity.
Can I play
for this? Yes.
They were all once your mother, and at some point were all good to you. Otherwise, you know, your friend who is your wonderful friend, then your worst enemy in another life. You know, it's that change. But ultimately, everyone was your mother. So that, I mean, for me, I'm just thinking how much this is connected back to, you know, to actually, you know, begin with that starting point of that equanimity, which is actually, you know, loving and cherishing all other people and all other sentient beings.
Right. So you're from Sharon's point, you're going to that, because all sentient, underlying that, all sentient beings have been your mother, and therefore you develop an equal cherishing for everybody. Yemba de soso ge ngoma ma yena de ganga chikpa restan tanyom kyeya dan de yena tsewa kyewa. So the basis is that yes, they have been your mother, that they are all equal in that, and therefore one develops this equal affection for all. Material generosity.
Materials instead of, and we kind of don't even want to get as close to those people who actually require generosity of Dharma and fear. So, does it mean that we don't have equanimity in that case? Or does it mean we kind of set up priorities and we still have equanimity?
Okay, right. Jumba Tawa. Me jigden jigden gi pumbo, you know, jigden nala de tosha gi me sansala ngagil sabo, you know, de kozo zani gogo mai de chujin da mi jubi jimba triya le labo mendos de le labo mena sansan gi jimba da le labo da chujin da mi jimba de nanshin le labo mena so so sem nala Tanyom ki kyun res de so so jintang men rao che gu res. De tanyom mena so se sem nan la mena la kibar che wa tanyom mewa ki kyun res de so so jintang du la kibar che gu res. Jintang wa ki nyam nin kibar. So it's like if if they are those of high status, like officials and so on, who are not open to like generosity of freedom from fear or generosity of Dharma, then it's like it's not the right time to give. It means that the time of that kind of giving has not ripened. Example. So you could say it's like if you have a wealthy person and you have lesser wealth, he's not the right object for you to make material generosity to. It's not the it's not suitable object. So like that, someone who's not open, it's not the right time to give.
So it's not about that, so it doesn't mean that we don't have equanimity.
Yeah, it's not our no. Yes, that's right. But not the right time. You can't make generosity. Okay. More on true what you
and
do.
The generosity of Dharma. Do you volunteer that you're a Buddhist, a student of Buddhism, or how do you show people the generosity of Dharma without saying?
Well, it is.
It's kind of dumb, because I was trying to get
it. So, nghe nam bao yin nam bi chu xie yin.
How you mean that? How you make generosity of Dharma?
Yeah, without saying I'm a Buddhist.
So that, it is not necessary
to say
that you're a Buddhist. It's
virtues. Yeah.
You just explain that. Fish, you know. is fishes also same as they have a feeling, you know? They have a suffering, they have a feeling. They just explain those things, yeah.
Mm.
So these are the generosity of Dharma.
Mm.
Maybe for some people they, if you say first at beginning they don't have to accept, maybe second time they're better, and third time maybe much better. You know? Yeah, these things are happening.
Mm. Mm, that's right. Mm. Mm.
I love some in Auckland some family member of our student, you know. At the beginning they don't really understand what when we explain catching the fish, and you know, these are not good, you know, these are negative actions. If you say these things at the beginning, they totally not accept these things. Later, just in front of this, we say these things. We are saying, we can see that they have a feeling of fish, you know, that they don't want suffering, and they see
happiness.
They want happiness. We can see these things. We say, explain these things secondly, and then it's better. Later, you know, later they try not to catch the fish, and also they liberate it, you know, liberate it. So this is happening. These are the just common things to help other people, you know.
But I suppose She doesn't like flies buzzing around, and she wants to get the flies spraying them. So I'm telling him that the fly just wants to come and play. And he used to play with the fly. He was spraying. So I suppose that's kind of like what he was saying.
Mm.
Like showing that other way instead of getting out the fly spray. She's not convinced, you know,
Drama Magawa. Tanya Ojana, this, the jurist set up the Pugu de Chigdos. They're much a drama de Kibuchewa, they're Koran Nopa Chigmai, they're Koran Semosewa Nash des, they're Masene Yapudes, Dinash and Tapshi Chigdos.
If we teach these things to children, when children, during children, it is very good.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they make the imprint strongly.
Generating love and compassion for Japanese people. They started talking about the history of their Chinese people and Japan, and so they they thought that the Japanese people deserve that, and so on and so forth. So those the words that they have, that's number two. But for us, talking to them to generate love and compassion for people who are suffering for a natural disaster, we thought we meant well, but it's kind of getting their anger out. So we have no idea whether they whether that we are the cause for them to generate the non-virtues, or whether that
right.
the non-virtues is actually something that we
Okay. Alright. Dinana mora rompa ni mi gemba ni kamishugudos mi te gozo kamishugu de japan la tsunami chonya chonya de gozo kangal jambu chona ngazo ninji kena yabudos te nashin korshigudos mi gemba ni kali kali control lanso karen zena koran logi nala japan la yamizo pe dopo tanso The Quran, the Japan, the Samlotana, the Dobu Tama Trangidos, the Tensan, the Japan, the Dungal Yuna Yabudos, the Kozo Controlanso. The Janet Damoran Roper, the Sindro China. The Goni Zang, Chewa, the Ninji Kewagi, Kamenshu, Sambados. In the Jebuti, Mitsu Controlanso, the Migewa Chewa Nation. Korangi Shawadi, Migewe Gyu. Migewe Gyurwes.
Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes.
Migewe
Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe
Gyurwes.
Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes. Migewe Gyurwes.
So in terms of your actions, not non-virtuous, because it would not be a cause of non-virtue in that you had no intention to produce that result. So because in deciding what is virtuous and non-virtuous, one has to look back at the intention. So one would look at the motivation in deciding whether something was a virtuous or non-virtuous action. So an easy example would be looking at generosity. In general, the nature of generosity is a white virtuous action. But if someone gives food to an animal, but in terms of their motivation, they are thinking that if I feed this animal, it will get fat and I will be able to kill it later, and you know, because it's then fat and healthy, then the action of generosity has become non-virtuous because of the kind of motivation that's behind it.
So does it mean for these kind of people, it's probably better just not to tell them?
Then shower care, but you know, mean that they me gamba dina shin catch a machina yabudos. Yes, so in the beginning to identify this thing and to not talk about it would be the best, because those people have imprints relating to that past time, and then when they remember it, then that kind of state of mind arises. What's the time? Okay, so we'll do meditation on ethics. So first, before you have Shakyamuni, one's teacher, as Shakyamuni on your crown and all sentient beings around you, and the focus of the meditation is ethics. So first, thinking that requesting blessings from one's lamas and the Buddhas in order to be able to accomplish the practices of the Bodhisattva in the three types of generosity, because, oh sorry, ethics, three types of ethics, ultimate ethics, three types of ethics, and that one is practicing this in order to attain Buddhahood, in order to benefit all sentient beings. So having made that request, then five coloured lights and nectars flow from Buddha's body down to oneself and all sentient beings, purifying all obscurations and negativities created since beginningless time, and in particular obscurations, negativities and interferences, to cultivating the three practices of the three types of generosity. Ethics! And then that oneself and all sentient beings' bodies become in the nature of clear light, one's merit, lifespan, and realizations of the spoken and realization doctrine increase and expand. And in particular, one gives rise to the realization of cultivating the practice of the three types of ethics. And before you do that visualization, just doing a glance meditation, which is recalling to the mind the points I explained about the three types of ethics.